The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Joining me is Joel Rosenberg. He, of course, New York Times bestselling author of so many books, but he's also the founder and editor of AllIsrael.com and All Arab News. AllArabNews.com. And I want to talk about both of those websites. Before we came to this point, Joel, we were talking about this almost perfect storm of articles that have been posted at allisrael.com with Biden's recent visit, with Erdogan, the Turkish Prime Minister, Ayatollah Khomeini from Iran, and Vladimir Putin making his way out of Moscow for the first time since his invasion of Ukraine, which you've written about, talked about, reflected upon at great length. And part of what we wanted to do is, as we see this ever increasing threat from Iran, Saudi Arabia recognizes it, Egypt recognizes it, your Middle Eastern neighbors recognize it, that this isn't just a quote unquote ideological threat, that it is an existential threat to the existence of Israel. And several leaders in Israel have said no. We've already made the decision that we will not, we cannot, we must not allow Iran to have nuclear capability, and we're willing to do what's necessary to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I sort of wanted you to bring these kind of points together and get your thoughts.
Yeah. So, again, I wrote this article last week called Bland, Boring, But Important.
Right.
Trying to assess Biden's trip to Israel. Now, it's always important when there's 192 countries in the world that an American president chooses to come to Israel. It's a little country. We have fewer than 10 million citizens. You know, we've been only around in the modern era since 1948. The first president of the United States ever to come to Israel was Richard Nixon in the 1970s. So it's pretty a big deal when any American president comes, and of the last 20 years, every president comes.
Right.
Like that, which, you know, that's not true of every country. So that's a big deal. Biden coming because he's a Democrat, and there's a growing movement within the Democratic Party to turn away from Israel or become super critical of Israel. Bernie Sanders almost won the nomination in the Democratic Party for president twice, and
Bernie Sanders is Jewish.
He's not even a Democrat, but he did run both times as a Democrat, but is incredibly hostile to Israel and has aligned himself with what's known as the Squad, the most virulently anti-Israel and at times anti-Semitic members of Congress. So for Biden to push back all those forces in his own party and say, not only will I go to Israel, but I love Israel, he calls himself a Zionist. Now, I have many disagreements with Joe Biden, President Biden, on policy, both definitely domestically, but even with Israel and the Middle East. But Joe Biden is the best that the Democratic Party has,
right?
And he should be commended for going to Israel and for trying to work to build the alliance stronger and encourage Democrats. No, the alliance with Israel is a good thing. So I believe what the Bible says, give honor where honor is due. We criticize Biden a lot when we have to, but if he does something right, it's our moral imperative to say he did it. Now, the reason this is important now is because that was last week, Biden coming to Israel and then going to meet with Arab leaders and saying, hey, we got a lot of differences, but we got to work together because what? Because Iran is just days away from building nuclear weapons if they so choose. And Iran is building this alliance that I've been talking about for 20 years, but is really as fresh as the top photo on All Israel News right now and All Arab News, which is the leaders of Russia, Iran, and Turkey all gathered together to strengthen their alliance. These are the two weather fronts that are in danger of meeting. The the pro-American, pro-Israel, pro-moderate Arab, pro-freedom front, and then there's the evil, the forces of darkness. Now, in all that, just raised the question right before the break. The Israeli chief of staff of our military, Aviv Kochavi, said in a story that we are writing on All Israel News, listen, we want diplomacy to work, but it's our moral imperative to make sure that we are ready if we had to go to war, especially if we have to go to war by ourselves, if no one will help us,
right.
we might have to take out these Iranian nuclear facilities. Why? Because the difference between today and the possibility of a second Holocaust led by Iran and 1939 and 40 at the beginning of World War II and the beginning of the first Holocaust, the difference is that there's a state of Israel with a military and a democracy and the ability to say we're not going to the gas chambers again. We may have to, if they're going to take us out, we're going to try to take them out first. And that's where we're at. And for the Israeli chief of staff of the military to say it today.
Out loud.
He's saying it. He's not trying to be I don't know his motivation, but I don't think he's saying it to be disrespectful to the American president. But what he's saying is that was all nice, well, and good that the American president Joe Biden came last week and signed a document saying we'll never allow Iran to get the bomb. But the truth is that Iran is so close to the bomb, and very few people in Israel or the Middle East, the Arab world, believe that Biden is doing everything that's humanly possible to stop Iran from getting the bomb, that they're like, well, we appreciate the visit and we appreciate all that you're doing, but we have to get ready for ourselves. And that shows you just how dangerous this moment is. Look, most Americans, I get it. Most Christians here in America, they're focused on their own issues.
Right.
I get it. But the first sentences of my recent book, Enemies and Allies, start this way. It's been long said that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but nobody says that about the Middle East. You can try to look away, but events in the Middle East will force you to pay attention again. It's just the way, that's just the way it is. And so people may not be paying attention except those listening to you in this show and those who are reading All Israel News and All Arab News. But there's a birth pang coming.
Mm-hmm.
A major conflict.
And Joel, I wasn't necessarily going to go there, but while I was hearing you speak, I was thinking my mind immediately went to the fragile governmental circumstance that Israel is in right now. And I was also thinking about a 9/11 moment where, again, as you are very much aware, you've already gone through 2-3 government rotations. The most recent government has now...
Well, we've had 4 elections in Israel in the last 3.5 years.
Yeah, 4.
And we're going to a 5th.
We're going to
a November 1st.
So now
like, what is happening? How, in the midst of all this danger, why is the Israeli democracy roiling so much?
Well, and so that, again, begs that question. It is, again, we have this perfect storm of circumstances where, again, Israel, if they're resolved about anything, it's the preservation of the state of Israel. And so we're coming up on a break, but I do kind of want to ask you about that. Because, again, another author, Jonathan Feldstein at allisrael.com, has written a guest column for you, Support for Israel's Good Policy and Should Be Nonpartisan. The article seems to be addressed to our friends in the West, that is the United States of America, that support for Israel, quite apart from Bible prophecy, just as a legitimate democracy in the Middle East, if that were the only reason to support Israel, it would be a sufficient reason. So I'm going to ask you about the government circumstance, the integrity, and how it might play out in the next few days and weeks. This is Gino Geraci along with Joel Rosenberg. Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so glad to have my friend Joel Rosenberg on. We've been talking about allisrael.com and the incredible, important stories that are that have been posted. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with allisrael.com and you're wondering, where can I go to get information? Where can I go to get information that is going to help me understand, navigate, and process what I'm seeing? And Joel, at allisrael.com, it says All Israel News, and it says tracking news and events impacting Israel, the Middle East, for the world's 600 million evangelicals. There's a reason why you've created this site, and you have, I know, a mission kind of a statement about what you're trying to accomplish. And I want to talk a little bit about that, but before we do, I want to go back to the current government circumstance of Israel, whether or not its integrity, fragility, strength, however you want to characterize it. How do you assess what's happening in Israel, in your government, and what do you see unfolding in the next few days and weeks as important, hard decisions are going to have to be made about the safety and security of Israel?
Yeah. Well, Gino, there is a famine of leadership in Israel right now. And Israelis are heading into a fifth round of elections in just 3.5 years.
Now, Which is hard for Americans to comprehend.
Well, yeah, it's hard for anybody. We certainly pride ourselves in Israel as being the region's only true democracy, but this is taking a little far. I've only been an Israeli citizen. It's coming up on just 8 years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And there's already been 5 elections that I've been participating in over that time. Now, 4 in the last 3.5 years, and now this 5th. So it'll be my 6th. But I was out of the country once because I didn't expect an election to happen, and so I missed that one. Anyway, the point is I have Palestinian friends who they've only voted once in their life, and they're in their 70s. So what's going on? What's going on is there is a big brouhaha going on, a big battle, and it's not between left and right, interesting, in Israel. It's probably too much nuance to get into now. But this is not like, oh, America's divided and Trump is this and Biden is this. It's very close elections, and was it stolen? Was it not stolen? That's not the question in Israel. Israel is a center-right country politically for a number of reasons, but the point is it's not a left-right country. It's not left versus right.
Is it more like north, south, east, and west?
No, it's that the country has been so burned by terrorism and left-wing Israeli politicians who said, just give away more land and you'll get more peace. But that failed when we gave the land back on the border to Lebanon in 2000. We said, well, just give this buffer zone away and we'll be safe. Well, then we got 4,000 missiles. And
right.
And then we gave away Gaza to the Palestinian, and they had – there was not a single Israeli soldier there, and we pulled out all of our settlements, and the Palestinians had beachfront property on the Mediterranean. They had natural gas right off the shore, very industrious people. But terrorists took over and fired 15,000 rockets at us over the last 17 years. So Israelis are like, no, any Israeli politician that stands up on the left and tells us just give away more land and we're going to get peace, that's insane. We don't believe you. So the country moved to the right. So now there's the center, there's center right, there's right, and then there's far right, and then there's lunatic right. Mm-hmm. But now who's going to lead that is the debate. Benjamin Netanyahu is the name that everybody in Israel
familiar
America
with.
Knows because he was our longest serving prime minister altogether over multiple terms, about 15 years, and did an amazing job. But he's also under indictment in 3 corruption trials right now. And Netanyahu has burned a lot of his right-wing allies, meaning it's not that that most right-wing politicians in Israel don't agree on the policies with Benjamin Netanyahu. It's that they feel that he has stabbed them in the back so many times or betrayed them in various ways that they don't want to work with him anymore. Even Donald Trump, who worked very closely with Netanyahu and they negotiated the Abraham Accords together with the Arab world,
which have still been unrecognized by the world, but keep going.
Yeah. They should have won multiple Nobel Peace Prizes, but apparently you can't win a Nobel Peace Prize for making historic peace anymore. Crazy. But Donald Trump told an Israeli reporter a few months ago, F Bibi. Whoa. You're like, whoa, what just happened there? My mother-in-law loves Netanyahu and she loves Trump.
Okay. Right.
Now, I'm not trying to be partisan here. I'm just trying to tell you a story. And that is, and she criticized me when I write articles about why Israelis aren't, you know, after four rounds, aren't putting Bibi Netanyahu back in power. I said to my mother-in-law, listen, I know you don't understand the nuances of the Israeli system and how many Israeli right-wing leaders who used to be Bibi Netanyahu's chief of staff or his closest political allies, they will never work with him again. Mm-hmm. And I know that doesn't make sense because you don't know the names and you know the policy, but just look at your friend Donald Trump, who said, F Bibi. Like, if Trump isn't that mad at Netanyahu, it tells you that Netanyahu, for all his strengths, has a serious character flaw, and that is he does not play well in the sandbox with other children. Like, and I say that, you know, just to be humorous, but I'm saying after 15 years in power, he's burned a lot of bridges.
Would you talk about the leadership
who
void?
Is going to emerge?
Well, is this a Saul David situation where is there an emerging leader that people can look at and say, this person is going to help us negotiate trials that we face right at this very moment?
This is one of the reasons we started All Israel News, because there's so many things going on that people outside who care for Israel, pray for Israel, want to stand with Israel, support Israel. But whether it's in the United States and Canada or in Singapore or China or wherever the Christians are who love Israel, they're like, who do I turn to trust, to understand why? Mm-hmm. The only name we know is Netanyahu. And when he's on our television networks, he seems like a statesman. So what's the problem over there? And who's next? Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're explaining, again, we're a nonprofit and therefore nonpartisan site, allisrael.com. But it doesn't mean we can't call balls and strikes.
Right.
Right. So we do that. We don't say vote for this guy or don't. We say this is what Biden's doing right. This is what he's doing wrong. This is what Bibi Netanyahu's doing right. This is what he's doing wrong. Now we get a boatload of, you know, people. Oh, you're horrible. So what? That's journalism. But the bottom line is this famine of leadership. Meaning, Netanyahu was such a global leader, a world leader who could jump on a plane and negotiate with Trump or Putin or the Chinese. This was a world leader, which is pretty amazing for a country of less than 10 million citizens, right? To have somebody that the rest of the world all knows and kept us out of war. And Netanyahu sent our Israeli secret services into Iran, and we stole Iran's entire nuclear
playbook, right?
And then put it on a ship and got it home, and they didn't even know. Like, this Netanyahu is an amazing leader. I know him. I worked with him briefly for a few months 22 years ago. But he has amazing strengths, but he has amazing weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, when you've had a leader dominate for so long, it's almost like a Ronald Reagan, and then, well, who's next? You go way down, right? That's not the perfect analogy, but my point is, when you have a Churchill, does anyone remember the next 3, 4, 5, 6 British prime ministers? I mean, no. Winston Churchill was – he so dominated this landscape and won a war, and then the country moved on. But nobody remembers the next prime ministers. That's where we are right now. There's really nobody – I'm not saying these people can't do the job, but it's the learning curve is very steep, and the stakes are very, very high.
There's so much to think about as you see the alignment again as we go back now, as we sort of turn the corner and we ask and we answer the question, what does the strategic alliance between Russia, Iran, and Turkey mean? And will that be a sufficient scare for the Arab countries to push them further and further into a normalized relationship with Israel? We'll have more with Joel Rosenberg when we return. Hey, welcome back. It's my privilege to have Joel Rosenberg. He, of course, with allisrael.com. And I was thinking about all of the incredible articles that have been posted, dare I say, over the last 10 days that have just been unbelievably important and timely. And so for people who are unfamiliar with allisrael.com, like me, you should go there every day. You can sign up. It's easy to do.
And free.
F-R-E-E, free. Now, before we went to the break,
right, just to be clear, what's free is, first of all, we have very few ads on the site. Right. We don't want it all cluttered up. But also, because we're a nonprofit.
Right.
But secondly, you can sign up for this email newsletter that will just bring you the headlines. You know, you're busy. You got a lot of things going on. But let the headlines just get delivered to you.
I get them every day.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we were talking a little bit about, again, this amazing news day. Putin leaves Moscow for the first time since the invasion of Ukraine. We haven't had a chance to talk since the invasion of Ukraine. Putin seems to have misjudged Ukraine's resolve. You talk about Churchill. Who would have thought if I was speaking to you 2 years ago and I said, do you think Zelensky is Churchill in Ukraine? And is he, you know, how would you characterize his leadership, blah, blah, blah. But we're dragging on. The war still continues in Ukraine. People are dying.
So painful, so
it's
ugly.
A painful, and you've written eloquently about this. Putin comes. He sits down with Ayatollah Khomeini. Clearly,
you keep saying Khomeini, but it's actually Khamenei.
Khamenei.
Khomeini is
the
one,
old guy.
The old guy. This is
who's
the,
dead.
This is the relatively. I mean, you know, he's still old. This the new,
right.
But he's
80.
In fact, he might not. You know, we could finish the show and he might not be there. But he's late. He's a lion in winter. But the Khamenei is the current.
So I guess what I wanted to do is again.
It matters. They think very similarly.
I wanted you to talk a little bit more about the strategic alliance that they seem to be entering into. Is this going to strengthen the resolve of Arab countries to move closer and closer to normalization with Israel? Do they understand this threat? And is it in fact a threat? In other words, when you talk about three groups of people who seem strategically weak in order to strengthen their resolve, is that strategic alliance between those three nations, is it going to have an effect on NATO? And is it going to change the complexion of the Middle East?
Wow. So there's a lot there. So I would say – I want to start by saying I want to encourage your listeners to read a book that I came out with, a nonfiction book in September of last year on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 called Enemies and Allies. And it looks at – the first section is about the enemies we face because they're different than 20 years ago when 9/11 happened. Things are changing in the Middle East. Then the next section, the longer section, is on the allies. The allies that Israel has, that America has, are very different today than they were 20 years ago. We did – you know, Saudi Arabia was technically an ally, but 15 of the 19 hijackers – came from Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden was Saudi. Like Americans did not think of Saudi Arabia as a friend or a trustworthy friend 20 years ago. They still wonder, but things are changing. And I've had this bizarre opportunity. I mean, God has opened up crazy doors for me to sit with the leaders, the kings, the crown princes, the presidents, and the prime ministers of almost every single one of these countries, including Saudi Arabia.
And you've done the deep dive into Putin.
Yeah, and put these leaders on the record spending not just 15, 20 minutes, hours and hours on the record, asking them the tough questions, asking their advisors. And this book really – so now I'm going to answer your question, but I just – this question is so important. What is happening? What in the world is going on? And is it positive or negative? If you look at the Abraham Accords – four Arab-Israeli peace and normalization agreements just at the end of the Trump years, Trump the last few months actually, that's hugely positive. So you say, okay, well, things are good over there. God is answering our prayers. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God has answered, and it's huge. It's huge, and I think most Christians don't even realize that after years of praying faithfully, God has just created the greatest breakthrough in Arab-Israeli peacemaking in history. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Or at least since the establishment of the modern state of Israel.
No, it's better because yes, we got a peace treaty with Egypt, but it was a cold peace. Yes, Egypt didn't want to invade us in Israel anymore, but they weren't warm and fuzzy. They weren't trying to make investment deals. They weren't encouraging tourism between the countries. Same thing with Jordan. Yes, they made peace with Israel in 1994, but they weren't inviting Israelis to come visit. They didn't want to do joint ventures in business, and they weren't doing interfaith events with Jews. But that's what these other Arab countries are doing. I've been there. I've sat with them. It's amazing. They want Christians to come. They want Jews to come. The planes are filled, 77 flights a week back and forth between the United Arab Emirates and Israel. 77. They're filled. My most recent trip, I was on a 787 Dreamliner. It's the biggest plane in the sky, filled, packed with Israelis who can't believe how awesome it is to be in the UAE. It's so different. It's exotic, but it's beautiful. And there's Starbucks. So, you know, how bad could it be, right? Applebee's.
It'll be bad when they get a Walmart. Hey.
So this is all very good. But at the same time, it's like, wait, is the Middle East getting better? Yes. Joel, but is it getting worse? Yes. And that gets back to your question. The relationship, this alliance that's going on between Russia, Iran, and Turkey that you've asked me about every single time we've talked about, well, mostly for the last 20 years because it seemed so crazy back in the day. But this is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. Now, I can't draw the conclusion that the actual prophetic war of Gog and Magog is going to happen this year, next year, the year after. We don't know, but with Israel rebuilt, Jews coming back into the land, Jews rebuilding the ancient ruins after centuries of exile and misery, but also, so that's a good thing, but also, as the Bible describes in Ezekiel, you're going to see this Russian-Iranian-led alliance emerging at the exact same time, and you're going to be like, well, which is it? Should we be worried, or should we be optimistic? And the answer is two. And what I describe in Enemies and Allies, it's two entirely different dynamics happening at the same time. It's not. You could say, well, that's contradictory. Well, that's the world. It's messy.
I think I would use the word paradoxical. It's two lines that are side by side. They're two trajectories, but both are possible and necessary.
They're not side by side. They're moving against each other.
Right.
It's like two fighter jets are moving past each other. If you've seen Top Gun,
right?
You know,
I haven't.
Two fighter
not
jets
the new one,
going,
anyway.
Oh, it's amazing!
That's really what I hear.
Amazing, I love it. But anyway, it's two weather fronts are coming again. You know, like you look out, you're sitting on the Front Range. You look out towards Kansas. You're like, wow, it's sunny, it's beautiful. There's no clouds. Wonderful. Yeah, but you look towards the mountains, and these big dark thunderhead clouds are coming in over there. And you're like, well, isn't it going to be nice? Well, if you're looking this way only. Then you're like, hey, it's going to be a beautiful day. But if you look back, you're going to be like, oh, no, a massive storm is coming. And then when those two fronts meet, that's when there's trouble. That's what I'm trying to describe. And it defies a soundbite. Mm-hmm. But yes, to your specific question, yes, the Arabs are being drawn closer and closer to Israel. They're undergoing a fundamental tectonic change in their values, in their thinking. They are realizing Israel's not the enemy. Mm-hmm. Let's work together. Yes, on security, but also on technology and trade and tourism and all kinds of things. But at the same time, the Arabs are also realizing, wow, the United States under Biden seems to be retreating. We don't really trust Biden to protect us if we have to go to war with Iran. Who could we trust? Mm-hmm. And they're realizing that their fundamental assessment of Israel being the enemy all these 75 years was wrong. Mm-hmm. Israel's the friend. Israel's the trustworthy ally. And that, too, is bringing Arabs and Israelis together as Russia and Iran build a very dangerous and dark alliance.
Again, I want to encourage all of you, if you get a chance, go to allisrael.com. Allisrael.com, you're going to see several different things trending: Russian-Ukrainian war, anti-Semitism, tourism, a book club, and some great, great articles. This is Gino Geraci. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci. So it's a thrill to have Joel Rosenberg on. We've been friends for so many decades, and because of that friendship, you know, our friendship has expanded, obviously, with Skip Heitzig. He and I grew up together, and he has historically made trips with you to Saudi Arabia and other Muslim majority countries. And you were talking
and serves on the board of Near East Media,
yes,
which is the nonprofit organization that oversees all Israel news and all Arab news, and has provided just a tremendous amount of insight. Because you two, you love ministry, you love Christ, you love ministry. But you understand that media is a big part of ministry in this 21st century, and getting these ideas out, there are a lot of challenges, mm-hmm. and not every person that's involved in ministry understands how to use the media effectively. Media is always so hostile to us, but you have found a way. He has found a way, and you're both teaching me in various, yes, ways. How can we get these messages out?
Well, and of course, one of the things that you already know about is credibility, where there's lots of people who are offering information, but as Joel Rosenberg is fond of saying, but what's your source? How can I consider this? How am I to think about what this person is saying? Is it credible? Is it realistic? Can I trust this source?
So in recent years, Gino, the number one question that I have been asked is, yeah, is that exactly? What are you reading? What are your sources, Joel, mm-hmm. that you trust? Because so many evangelicals have lost confidence in the mainstream media, and for good reasons. There's so much bias. It's extreme mm-hmm. bias against Christians, against Israel, against a number of things, the values that we hold. So, I mean, what you deal with much more than what we're talking about on your show, I'm sure, are Genesis issues. We're talking mm-hmm. about who is a man? Is there, can you, what is a man? What is a woman? What is marriage? Like, these are fundamental, like, the United States culture has gone back to Genesis. That's mm-hmm. the debates we're having. So all that to say, we launched with my colleagues and I, allisrael.com and allarab.news. Why? Because of this media bias and this feeling that, look, it's not that every media outlet is horrible or that every story is horrible.
The question or twisted and biased.
Right, but people don't have the time in this fast information age and fast-paced life to know what is credible and what isn't. There's so much fake news out there. So we decided so somebody actually came to me, an Israeli believer in Jesus, and said, we need to build mm-hmm. a media David to go up against the media Goliath. Mm-hmm. Rather than just worrying all the time or kvetching, let's say, let's decide that these people are coming against us, but we are standing for the Lord, and let's build something that can be effective. I told him that's a great idea, but I don't have the time mm-hmm. to do that. You know, you want to build something, and I don't have the time to do that. But I couldn't sleep. Like mm-hmm. the next few weeks, I was like, the Lord's like, no, I'm asking you to do this. I'm telling you to do this. So then trying to think of what would that be? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe like a Drudge Report where mm-hmm. you're just linking
An aggregate
where you're just linking to stories that are important. And that I said, well, I went back to this guy and I said, I could do that. He's like, okay, I would help you do that, but I think you have to write original stuff. I mean, your voice is important. You don't just want to aggregate. I said, okay, I'll do original columns and stories. And he said, and then we don't want to just have you as the only person, do we? Anyway, we found a compromise that I think wasn't a compromise. I think it was what the Lord wanted. Original reporting, exclusive interviews, exclusive polling that we're doing.
No, it's great.
And analysis from a biblical worldview. Now, not every column is going to have a Bible verse. Not every story is going to have a Christian angle. But the point is, you can be assured that the editorial outlook, the framework from which we're doing this, is from a biblical evangelical worldview. Now, we have people that aren't believers in Jesus on the team as good writers. They're just really good reporters. And but from the editorial perspective, what's the worldview that you're going to get overall? It's evangelical. It's distinctly biblical. So And now, and we're finding people like, yes, we just did an exclusive poll, one quick thing. We thought just before the Biden trip, we thought, let's ask if people in America want Biden to make peace between Israel and Saudi Arabia.
Yes, yes.
And that, and there was like, yes, absolutely. And they said, and the poll was clear. Even Democrats overwhelmingly said, we want Biden to make this a top priority. You know, and I would editorialize here between you and me and this audience. There's a lot of things that Americans are critical of Biden about. But in this area, they said, OK, but go make peace between Israel and the Saudis. And so we did this poll. It was very, very interesting. And it got a lot of play. We asked another question, and that was, do you trust, you know, basically with President Biden heading into the Middle East and Israel and the Arab world, do you trust the mainstream media to cover Israel fairly and honestly and without bias? And that the answer was either, yes, I trust the mainstream media, or B. And by the way, that was only 30%. Only 30% of Americans said, yes, I trust the mainstream media to cover Israel and the Middle East fairly. B was, I don't trust the mainstream media, or I'm angry. And that totaled up to more. That totaled up to 60%. 6 in 10 Americans said, I do not trust the media. And the subsection of that was that 19% said, I don't just distrust the mainstream media. I'm angry at that bias, and I'm looking. I wish there was an alternative
source
of information that I could trust.
Right.
18% of 250 million non 18-year-olds and above, that's a lot of people. Like, and that's our potential objective, that world. Now, if you drill down into evangelicals, the distrust of the mainstream media is way higher. And I'll send you that link. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. But and the evangelicals that are saying, I'm looking for an alternative, is way higher. So all that to say, this is affirming to us at allisrael.com that our leadership team, Skip Heitzig included, is realizing, yes, we're on the right track. We're in the early stages of building. You know, Israel's a startup nation. Let's go start something.
Sure.
This is what we're doing. And it's fascinating. And we're not just covering news and war and rumors of wars and all. We are covering prophecy, but we're also covering biblical sites and biblical issues. A gay pride parade, you know, that's a big issue. There's not even a debate in Israel over homosexuality or not, or abortion when the Roe v. Wade decision came down.
Yeah, and you've written about that.
Well, that's an American thing. Well, no. It's actually a more permissive pro-abortion culture in Israel.
Correct.
And so we did a number of stories about that, but we also did stories on who are the pro-life ministries that are counseling women, hey, there is an alternative, and we will help you. Joshua Fine, the ministry that we started, we help the ministries that help these women bring their babies to term and provide diapers for the first year. And, you know, this is interesting. And for Christians who think, you know, I'm not going to read the New York Times to get my Israel coverage or CNN.
Right.
And sometimes, though, they even say, well, Christian media, I mean, how often, honestly, does Christianity Today cover Israel? Almost not at all. Almost not at all. And many other Christian media are so absorbed with other things that this gets left behind. Now, mostly that's just focus and bandwidth. So I'll just say the last point. Not only are we creating this tool, this resource, which I'm glad that you're using, and I hope your listeners will avail themselves of it too, but we're also making it available as a wire service for other media. Newsmax has signed with us. The Jerusalem Post has signed with us.
That's God incredible.
TV and Charisma.
And it seems
like our stories and republishing.
And it seems like CBN is also picking it
CBN
up.
CBN and us are, well, they have their own bureau, but they are covering a lot of what we do, and we're working very closely.
Well, as always, Joel Rosenberg, thanks so much for being my guest.
Oh,
and
such
thanks
an honor to be here.
For what
in
you're
studio
doing.
Even.
And again, I do want to encourage you, if you get a chance, go to allisrael.com. It is so worth it. And so many great resources. So much to talk about. This is Gino Geraci. Thanks for joining me.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.